I am going to preach this morning. I'm going to keep it short. And everybody laughed because the pastor said he's going to keep it short. Yeah, right. You'll believe it when I see it. We are in our series, Taking Action. We're going through the book of Acts. I make no promises of how long we're going to be in this book because there's a lot there and I don't want to rush through, breeze over anything. But I want to start off by asking, have you ever been asked, nominated, or told to do something you felt completely unqualified for? Or, okay, yeah, I see that. Or have you ever volunteered for something that you think you could do, and then when you got started, you're like, oh, no. I'm there. I remember that first 3 years of youth ministry, like here, and they're like, here, Matt, you have a building. Turn it into a youth center. How hard could that be? Oh, no. The amount of time I spent on my knees being like, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. And the youth just kept coming. At one point, we had 60 youth coming on a Friday night to hang out at the youth center. I got to preach a little bit of the word to them. We saw lots of good seeds sown in that time. But every night, as they just kept coming, I'm like, oh, no. And I was not a good team player. I was so hard on volunteers. That first month, we had like 30 volunteers. By month two, we're down to like 4. Like, it was not. I had a very steep learning curve. All the while being like, what have I done? And I appreciate the fact that I'm in good company this morning. Because I feel like, last week we looked at Acts 1. And Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. He's talking to the believers, and he says, I want you now to go out and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, Jerusalem made sense. They were literally looking at the city as Jesus ascended. That was easy because they're already there. Judea was kind of easy because it was the region. So he kind of had to wander out. But Samaria? The Jews didn't like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Why would we go there? And to the ends of the earth? Are you kidding me? I would assume that they felt a little unqualified. And I wonder how often as we sit in church, and we've been talking a lot about mission, that Jesus has called us to be disciples who make disciples. Right? That's what we do. We go, we make disciples, and then they get baptized, and we teach them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. But that go, be disciples who make disciples can be really intimidating. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you ever felt unqualified, and whatever that looks like, I haven't been taught enough, I'm still new to faith, I'm too young, whatever your reason may be, this morning is all for you. If you've ever been like, I'm too busy, that's the wrong reason to not be a disciple. It means your priorities are out of whack. And there's a lot of things that fall into that category. There's a difference between a willingness, but just feeling unqualified and unable, or being resistant, just being like, it doesn't fit my schedule. I can't add one more thing. Well, then you need to take something off. Because this is what Jesus called us to do. And if Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, then this needs to be a priority. As I've said often, if Jesus is not Lord of your whole life, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So, this morning, as we dive in. So, a little context before we dive in. We're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. Acts chapter 2 happens on the day of Pentecost. So, Jesus is crucified at Passover. Pentecost happens 50 days later. So to kind of put it into context, Luke told us in chapter 1 that Jesus walked with the disciples and revealed himself to the believers for 40 days before he ascended. So 10 days after he ascended and told the disciples to wait, we arrive at Pentecost. And this is significant because in the Jewish calendar, Pentecost happens 50 days later. Thus, Penta. But the other part of it is that Pentecost was one of the three festivals that the Jews were expected to come back to Jerusalem to be a nation to worship God together. So this is a significant, the city is bustling, it's full of people, and you're going to get a grasp of just how far people had traveled to be a part of it. So with that, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. So they're all gathered together, and the Holy Spirit comes. Just want to make a few notes on this. The significance of the roaring, the windstorm coming in. Often in Scripture, when God shows up on the scene, is about to make his voice known and speak to the people, some people confuse what is happening for the sound of thunder. The example, when Jesus is baptized, it says that when he was coming up, the Holy Spirit was descending like a dove on him. And the Father said from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." And some heard it, but others just heard thunder. So what Luke is doing, he's not here, right? He's reporting this as having done his research. What he's doing is he's actually, without probably even knowing it, he's tying this, that this is a moment straight from heaven. It is a significant moment, and this is the Holy Spirit coming in and getting ready to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. The other thing I want to say, the whole speaking in other languages, some of your Bibles probably say speaking in other tongues. Even the Bible that I am using, it's in the footnotes in other tongues. I'm not going to comment on that because I want to kind of go into the rest of the passage. So let's do that. Verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native tongues. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." The gift of tongues. So there's probably about 15 nations Luke lists there, but he said it's people from all nations are gathered here, and all of a sudden in the commotion, they start hearing the amazing things God has done in their own language. And what's happening? That's a big question. What is happening here? And there's been lots of debate. I don't want to take too much time with it because I want to leave lots of time for our testimonies this morning. So what I'll say to this, some read that gift of other languages as just that. The Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples and has given them this supernatural ability to speak languages that they didn't otherwise know. And that is amazing. That is miraculous. And if that's what you believe, cool. You're welcome to believe that. The other interpretation of that is that they have received the gift of tongues, what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians as a heavenly language that only God can understand. And so if you take that interpretation of what's happening, the miracle isn't necessarily what's being said, but what's being heard. That God has opened the ears of some of them to hear exactly what they needed to hear about God and his goodness and his love. And that is just as miraculous. The miracle of ears opening and being heard exactly what they needed to hear in that moment. And I don't want to take too much time. I just want to speak to the heavenly language and the miracle of hearing. I would lean more to that direction. And I'll unpack it more later in the series because this is going to come up a lot in the book of Acts. But what I will say is that based on experience, I've been preaching long enough that especially this happened a lot in Medicine Hat. Not that it hasn't happened here, but a lot in Medicine Hat, I would be standing at the door after I preached a message, shaking hands, and someone would come up and be like, oh, Pastor, I just so appreciated when you made this point, and you just, it was so beautiful. And then they walk away, and I look at Michelle and be like, I never said that. Like, were they sleeping? Like, was I that bad? Like, they're sleeping and having their own sermon? Like, what's going on? And what I've learned now is that it's not actually them sleeping and dreaming. I actually believe that God opened their ears in that moment, and they heard exactly what they needed to hear. Maybe what I was preaching wasn't going to stir them the way it needed to, and so God just had this moment, and they heard what they needed to hear, and that's just as amazing. Cool. I hope you all hear from God when I'm preaching, even if it's not something I said. Okay? I think that's beautiful and awesome and just as miraculous. The other story I want to share, I was at a pastor's retreat. I won't say where. And we were having a time of, we're going late. I'm sure resorts hate when pastors show up because we have no respect of time. We are worshiping the Lord, and we will leave when we're good and ready. Like, that's kind of what happens sometimes. And so we were worshiping. The staff were trying to kind of clean up around us, and one of the pastors started speaking in tongues as part of the worship. And all of a sudden, one of the staff members just stops. He's not cleaning anymore. He's just listening. We're like, what in the world's going on here? And after the music was done, the band's packing up, and we're kind of getting ready to go, this person comes up to this pastor and is like, you were speaking my language. Like, they're from another country. And they heard the gospel preached to them perfectly, clearly in their language. And the reason I would say that it was a gift, the miracle of hearing, is because there was two of them working, two of them from the same country, but only one heard the gospel. What did the other one hear? They heard gibberish. They heard what the rest of the crowd that didn't hear what being said, right? What did they say? They're drunk. They're just talking gibberish. Because some receive the miracle, some are ready to receive what God has for them, and some simply aren't. And that's just the reality of life sometimes. Some heard gibberish, and some heard the gospel preached in their language. And it's beautiful, and it's awesome. All glory to God. But whatever your interpretation of the gift of tongues and the gift of other languages may be, the one thing we can all agree on is what Jesus said would happen is exactly what happens. The Holy Spirit came as God said he would, or as Jesus said he would. He filled them supernaturally and empowered them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The disciples had no idea that the ends of the earth were coming to them. And that in that moment, they didn't have to go anywhere. They were going to get to preach to the nations right there in Jerusalem. But it couldn't have happened without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I say that because when you feel disqualified, it doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. It doesn't matter how little you've been discipled. It doesn't even matter how new you are to reading your Bible. The Holy Spirit comes on you and empowers you. He fills the gap. He gives you knowledge and wisdom and all the things you need to do to be the disciples he's called you to be. And suddenly the disciples, this group of 120 who probably thought Jerusalem was going to be a big task, suddenly get this supernatural boost, and they're able to proclaim the gospel to people they otherwise probably never would have met. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be qualified. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a bunch of verses memorized. You just have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit come and fill you and empower you to do what only you can do with his help. And in order for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it requires you to take time every day to pause, to get into the Word, to let God speak to you through his Word, to pray and invite the Holy Spirit in. It's not an add-on. It's like running through your day. Boy, I hope I get filled with the Holy Spirit at some point. No! That comes back to the whole too busy thing. You need to make time. And if you're willing to make time, I believe that you will be astounded at the opportunities God creates for you to be disciples who make disciples. The Holy Spirit came and helped them, and the Holy Spirit will come and help you if you are willing to wait and be filled with him. at this moment, Peter steps up and he's going to preach. We're going to come back and unpack the sermon next week because, again, trying to keep it short. We're going to jump down to verse 37 in Acts chapter 2. This is what it says. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and out of the church that day, about 3,000 in all. How about anybody else? We start talking about church growth plans. They went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. I'm in. I will buy into that growth plan. Some of you are like, "I like the size of our church. That's a little extreme." I don't care. We got time is short. We need to pack heaven with people. Let's get to it. Repent, turn to God, and be baptized. And at this point, I am excited that we are going to join with 11 people who are answering the call. They've already repented. And repentance, just so we're clear, is not just "Jesus, forgive me," and then turning back and doing it again. Repentance is, I recognize that this is sin. I am turning away from it. I am turning to God because that's the only response that will work. You can't just ask for forgiveness and hope something good happens. No, no, you turn away from that sinful behavior. You turn to the God of all hope, all life, all power, and he does the transformative work. That has already happened. And so now, this morning, we join with these 11 people in the waters of baptism. And as I said, it's not too late. If you want to join in, if you're ready to make that big step and make your faith sure and make that public declaration that I am a follower of Jesus, then I invite you to prepare your heart for baptism this morning. But my encouragement for the rest of you and for all of us, even the baptism candidates, is from this day forward to make that commitment, to pause, to wait. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power, with your presence, with your gifts, so I can be the disciple that you've called me to be, because our community needs us to be empowered disciples to do what we have been called to do. At this time, I'm going to invite our 11 candidates to start preparing yourselves. Online community, I am so glad that you were able to join us this morning. However, baptism and child dedication are in-house events. If you want to be a part, you're always welcome to come join us here. Otherwise, God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. But everyone in Carlisle, we're preparing for baptism this morning.